ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 15 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद फाउंडर आचार्य ऑफ इस्कॉन। यथानुकीर्तयन्ति एतत् श्रेयस्कामाद्विजातयः शुचयः प्रातरुत्थाय दुःस्वप्नादि उपशान्तये। Translation. Therefore, after getting up from bed in the morning, those who desire their own welfare, especially the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and in particular the Brahmana Vaishnavas, should chant this narration as it is, without deviation, to counteract the troubles of bad dreams. Was text 14 read yesterday? The previous verse? Did someone give class on it? Usually we just give... Why I'm asking? Because there's no purport. Usually we don't give class on the text without a purport. Anyway, here's the purport to this verse. Every verse in the Vedic literature, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, is a Vedic mantra. Here the words yata'anu kirtayanti are used to recommend that this literature be presented as it is. Unscrupulous persons, however, deviate from the actual narration and interpret the text in their own way with grammatical jugglery. Such deviations are to be avoided. This is a Vedic injunction supported by Shukadev Goswami, one of the Mahajans or authorities. He says, Yata'anu kirtayanti, one should recite the mantra as it is, without deviation, for then one will be eligible to rise to the platform of all good fortune. Shukadev Goswami especially recommends that those who are Brahmanas, Shuchayah, recite all these mantras after rising from bed in the morning. Because of sinful activities, at night we have bad dreams, which are very troublesome. Indeed, Maharaj Yudhishthira was obliged to see hell because of a slight deviation from devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, duswapna, bad dreams, occur because of sinful activities. A devotee sometimes accepts a sinful person as his disciple, and to counteract the sinful reactions he accepts from the disciple, he has to see a bad dream. Nonetheless, the spiritual master is so kind that in spite of having bad dreams due to the sinful disciple, he accepts this troublesome business for the deliverance of the victims of Kali Yuga. After initiation, therefore, a disciple should be extremely careful not to commit again any sinful act that might cause difficulties for himself and the spiritual master. Before the deity, before the fire, before the spiritual master and before the Vaishnavas, the honest disciple promises to refrain from all sinful activity. Therefore, he must not again commit sinful acts and thus create a troublesome situation. This verse begins with the word yata, which is translated here as therefore. So what is this in relation to? We have to read the previous verse to get that. The previous verse reads as follows. My dear King Parikshit, I have now described the wonderful power of Krishna as displayed when the Lord delivered the king of the elephants. O best of the Kuru dynasty, those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees, they are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams. This is the end of the narration of Gajendra, Gajendra Upakhyan, or Prakhyan, which ends with a happy ending. Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Sometimes we read stories, they're called fairy stories, in which it says that the prince and the princess, after going through so many difficulties, finally they got married and they lived happily ever after. This is called a fairy story, because in this material world no one ever lives happily, even for 1 second, and there's no question of living happily ever after, because they get thrown into another body. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have real success stories. In the modern world, everyone is interested to become a success, not to be a failure. You should be successful. And to do this, you should study in the university, all complete nonsense, to become completely brainwashed how to function effectively as an efficient fool in the modern society. And then you can be a success by having many modern gadgets in your home and driving a fast car up and down the highway until you get dragged out of your body and thrown into hell. So this is not success. Success is to go back to Godhead, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tyaktva Dehang Punarjanma Na Mameti, to get out of this miserable material world and go back to Godhead, as Gajendra has done. Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. This is his success. Even though he's in the body of an elephant, he's a great devotee and he goes back to Godhead. So his life becomes successful. At the end of every section of the Bhagavatam, especially the longer sections, there is what is called the Phalashruti. You'll find this at the end of different songs, or at the end of different stories in the Shastra, just like at the end of the Gurvashtakam. Gurvashtakam means there are 8 verses in glorification of the spiritual master. And there's another verse which makes it 9 verses, but that's the Phalashruti, which says that those who rise in the Brahma Muhurta and recite this beautiful prayer, they are certain to get the same result as Gajendra, which is to go to the spiritual world. And particularly they will get the association of Vrindavannath, the Lord of Vrindavan, Krishna, in Golok Vrindavan. So here the Phalashruti is given. That means, what is the benefit of hearing this narration? What is the benefit of chanting or remembering the story of Gajendra? That is described in these verses here. Phalashruti, phal means fruit or result. So here are being described some of the secondary or the upasangik phals. That means the anusangik phals, the secondary considerations. The hearing the story of Gajendra, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for developing pure devotion to Krishna. But also as a side effect, we can say the anusangik phal means secondary result or a side effect, beneficial side effect, is that by performing devotional service or by hearing these narrations, you can become fit to be elevated to the higher planetary systems. You can gain a reputation as a devotee. You can become unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga. You'll never see bad dreams and different anusangik phals are given. So that's a fact that we find even in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Rupa Goswami describes, what is the result of performing pure devotional service? Many people ask us, well, why do you do that? Why do you do this? Why do you be a devotee of Krishna? So the first result that will be very interesting to everybody in this material world is Kleshagni, which means the mitigation of suffering, the mitigation of distress. The first effect of pure devotional service is that a person becomes free from Klesh. Klesh means suffering, of which there are 3 principal varieties, or they're classified into 3 major sections. That is Adhyatmik, Adhibhotik, and Adhidaivik Klesh. Miseries from other living beings, caused by other living beings, miseries caused by natural disturbances, and miseries caused by our own mind and body. And these are three major classifications, but there are unlimited, ashesha, klesha, nishesha, unlimited sufferings in this material world. Some of them are being mentioned here, that the contamination of Kali Yuga, which brings all different kinds of sufferings, bad dreams, is mentioned. That sometimes we wish someone going to sleep at night have sweet dreams. But there are sweet dreams and there are bad dreams. They wish you may have sweet dreams, because when you're awake, it's like a bad dream. So they hope at least when you go to sleep, you may have sweet dreams. But that may also be even worse than when you're awake. People, they like to have dreams. Sometimes they take some kind of drug so that they can get some hallucination, because they must be thinking that this, whatever's going on that they're seeing in this world, it's so useless and miserable. Let me have some hallucination. Or they have daydreams. That's another kind of dream. They're sitting and dreaming, if I could be a king, or if I could enjoy with that film star, or if I could be a famous rock singer. Or they have various dreams which have no relation to reality. The reality is, they're not a rock star, they're not a king, they're not enjoying with a beautiful film star, they're just completely ordinary, insignificant person doing some miserable job and just dreaming. So bad dreams, they're bad dreams, good dreams, so-called dreams. It's all, what's the value of a dream anyway? Sometimes people become very interested in their dreams and they want to interpret their dreams. What is the meaning of this dream? Or they want to see, look in some crystal ball and see what will be my future. But whatever your future is, as long as you're in the material world, it's all inauspicious. Here is mentioned Shreya Kama, those who want their real benefit, they should listen to this narration of Gajendra. So who is there who does not want their own benefit? Everyone wants their own benefit. But in this material world, we are thinking of our benefit as that which is not at all beneficial. Just, you see, when you come out of the airport here, the huge imitation Coca-Cola cans. The idea is that by showing this, they'll incite you to drink Coca-Cola. They're trying to show that by drinking this, this will be for your benefit. You'll get the benefit. You see, if you see on the TV some advertisement, people drinking Coca-Cola, they become happy. So people think, if I drink this Coca-Cola, I'll become happy, I'll become fashionable. Or if I smoke this cigarette, I'll become like a tough cowboy. Some kind of dream. Another kind of cigarette, they give an image. Or if you use this kind of soap, then you become like that. They show people in the advertisement who use this kind of soap or this kind of toothpaste. And the idea is that by using that toothpaste, you become like that person, and that image is there, that person you're like, supposed to be like. Sometimes they bring famous sports stars or film stars to advertise a product. That the famous football player, he uses this kind of football boot. So the idea is that if you buy it, then you should also get the same quality as that football player, namely the ability to kick a ball in a certain way. So it's a dream, it's an illusion. They're trying to show that by drinking this or smoking that or driving such and such a car, you become a certain kind of person, and that is good for you. You should be like this. This is considered fashionable, auspicious, high class, and so many things. But when you buy the toothpaste and you brush it in your mouth, you don't find that your whole consciousness is changing and you become a fashionable person with super white teeth who everyone is interested in just because you use some kind of toothpaste. Nor when you drink Coca-Cola do you find that all of a sudden yourself and everyone around you is jumping up and down in ecstasy, like in the advertisement. So it's not actually, and even if you were, what is the value? It's all a foolishness. So I neither is the what is advertised any kind of reality. It's just a fantasy. And even if your life was like that, then what is the benefit? So really, Srimad Bhagavatam is pushing us to the highest goal, which is to find out what is our Shreya Uttamam, what is our real benefit. This, in the material world, we are offered so many kinds of benefits. You should lead a good life so that you can be respected in human society. Everything is in relation to this world, which is simply like a dream. Prabhupada gave the example, daydream and night dream. That in the night you dream, you become afraid, the tiger is chasing you, you take it as reality. But then when you wake up, you think, oh, that was just a dream. So what is the difference between the dreaming and the so-called reality? Because you're taking this to be real, but how is it real? You think the dream is not real, but when you were experiencing the dream, it was exactly as it was real. However crazy it may be, you may be flying in the sky or something, which is sometimes dreams are very strange. But you take it, the experience, you experience it as reality. Now when you are awake, you think, oh, that was just a dream. Why? What is the meaning of dream? Because it was something temporary and not what you consider to be real. But then, this life is also temporary. And although you take it to be real, it will be finished soon. And although you're thinking it's real, that I am this body, this is my wife, these are my children, this is my home, this is my job, this is my dog, this is my cat. Although you're taking these things to be real, it's all temporary. You'll go to another body, and then you'll be a dog or a cat or a demigod in the heavenly planets or suffering in the hellish planets. And then you take that to be real. Just like you have one dream, then you have another dream. And during one dream, you take it that this is reality. And during another dream, you take it that that is reality. And when you wake up, you take it that this is the really real thing. But that is also temporary. And you go to another situation where you have no memory of your previous situation. Now you may be living in Slovenia, working in some office, and as far as you're concerned, this is my reality. But then if you go to another body, the body of a dog, you have no memory of that whatsoever. Some memory is there, very deep in the subconsciousness. But for all intents and purposes, that you have no relationship to that body. As far as you are concerned, if you're in the body of a dog now, after being in a previous body, another body previously, as far as you're concerned, this is reality. As far as the dog is concerned, this is reality. I am a dog. I have to get some food. Of course, here in the Western countries, the dogs are looked after like royalty. But in India, mostly the people, they serve them, just like kings. They serve them and all their needs are attended to. But you'll find mostly the dogs in India, they're simply on the street and looking how they can get some food, how they can get some sex. So as far as the dog is concerned, this is his complete reality. He knows nothing beyond this. That I am a dog, I have to get some food. Not that he thinks about it philosophically, but he's completely in that consciousness. Bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangha sya sadasad yoni janmasu prakriti purusha prakriti stohi. The living beings, we are stuck in different kinds of bodies according to the modes of material nature we come in contact with. And thus we take birth in different kinds of bodies. And whichever kind of body we get, we take that to be reality. Our hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, smelling and feeling, we take that to be reality. So Srimad Bhagavatam points us towards that which is the, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described as vastavik vastu,
The really real thing, not Coke. The really real thing is Krishna. He is the absolute reality. He is the absolute truth. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Sri Krishna is the absolute truth, beyond which there is nothing more. He is the shelter of everything. Everything rests in Him. He is the supreme, absolute pure. He is a person. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. He is a person, not like you and I are thinking we are persons in a temporary body which is to be finished. But He is an eternal, we're all eternal people. But He is not subject to change. He's called Achyuta, not subject to falling down from His transcendental position. He is Adidevam, Ajam, Vibhum. He is unborn, eternal, the origin of all the demigods. So Srimad Bhagavatam points towards the highest reality, the topmost auspiciousness, the topmost need. What is our need? We have so many needs in material life. Our basic needs, as the politicians in India, they are always reminding, or they're being reminded, roti kapra makan. We need some food, some clothing, and some shelter. These are the basic needs in material life. But above and beyond that, we have our spiritual need. We are spiritual beings. We have needs for the temporary body, but that is not our ultimate need. Our ultimate need is our spiritual need, the spiritual understanding that is above the animal needs of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Our real need is to understand Krishna. But we don't know that. We are thinking, I need food, clothing, shelter. And modern society has created so many artificial needs. Coca-Cola is a completely artificial need. There's absolutely no need whatsoever for Coca-Cola. You can live your whole life without taking Coca-Cola even once, and it won't make the slightest bit of difference to you. But they've created a need that I have to have this. I have to have a car, not just any car, but I have to have some fancy car just to show others how exalted I am in human society, that I don't just have some cheap car, but I have some expensive car. So we've created all these artificial needs in modern society, but that simply, these creating more and more needs and the attempt to fulfill them simply creates more and more frustration, because it covers over or leads us away from our real endeavor, the real endeavor we should be attempting. Our real need is to find out Krishna. Therefore, the exalted people in human society, they live very simply. They don't increase their artificial needs. Rather, they decrease as much as possible, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Whatever way they can simply fulfill that, they do that so as to concentrate more time and energy into fulfilling the real purpose of human life, which is to understand Krishna. Rather, they even if material facilities are available, they don't indulge in them because they don't want to become entangled or attracted or attached to that which is not their real need. They want to become attracted and attached to Krishna, which is their real need. Now, people in modern society, they will say, this is primitive. Why do you want to live without all the facilities of modern life? Why do you want to go back to this primitive way of life? They consider it primitive to live a simple life. But we consider it primitive to lead a life surrounded by so many material propensities, but there so many machines. But what are you looking on? You have so much, so many machines, television. What are you looking at on television? Pornography. What are you doing working so hard to get a big, fancy car when you can get by with a small car or even no car? But you have a big fancy car, why? It's simply for sex, that's all. Simply to impress others. I am more prestigious. I am better than someone else. Just like the one dog is trying to impress the she-dog, and the different dogs are trying to impress. Or any species of life. Every species of life they're doing. simply the same thing. So human life is meant for becoming freed from the animalistic propensities of spending your whole life simply interested in eating, sleeping, sex, fighting. These things, for all their advancement, modern human society, they've simply increased the sex and fighting propensity, especially more and more and more. Naturally, if you increase the sexual propensity, then the fighting propensity will also increase. Just like the animals, you see, they in every species, they'll fight. The males will fight for the privilege to enjoy the female. So the same thing, that competitive spirit in material society, simply how to impress others for sex life. And then there's fighting. It all comes together, that Krishna says in Gita, kama esha, krodha esha. What is the cause of sinful life? That lusty desires and anger, the two things go together. That when the lust is not satisfied, then one becomes angry. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Then, krodhat bhavati sammoha. Then from that one becomes bewildered. And he forgets what is his proper purpose of life and he falls down into the material pool. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, that is meant for a change of consciousness. Krishna consciousness means change of consciousness. It doesn't mean that you have some religion. What is your religion? I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hare Krishna. It's my religion. Not like that. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that you lead a materialistic life and you have 1% or 2% Krishna consciousness. But Krishna consciousness means consciousness of Krishna. Just as Gajendra became conscious of Krishna, when he became conscious of Krishna, he realized that his home, his wife, his clan of elephants, who he was the king of, it's all meaningless. It's all temporary. And in this way, he fully surrendered to Krishna and went back home, back to Godhead. This was his success, going to the spiritual world. So in Krishna consciousness, to be conscious of Krishna means to be conscious of Krishna, that means to be conscious of my relationship with Krishna. When we become conscious of our relationship with Krishna, then we become conscious that any relationship on the material platform, it has no ultimate meaning. Or any attachment for anything in this material world, it's all meaningless. It's all useless. Everything in the whole material world, whatever you can imagine, now you can get it all on the internet, everything in the material world. What do you want to buy? Get it, look it up on the internet. You can get the whole material world just in your computer screen. But what does it all add up to? Without Krishna consciousness, it's all useless. It's all meaningless. It's simply a cause of repeated birth and death, suffering more and more and more. So a devotee, he doesn't, as Rupa Goswami recommends, he's not neglectful in his worldly dealings. But at the same time, he only deals with the material world as much as necessary, and not more. And he detaches himself from the material world as much as possible. Whatever he has to do, he does. And his real focus of attention is on Anukirtan, chanting about Krishna, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas, becoming Krishna conscious. That is the real goal of a devotee. A devotee always keeps in his mind that I'm here now, but I have to go to the spiritual world. What am I here for? What am I doing? I'm here to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, he remembers Gajendra. He remembers Parikshit Maharaj. He remembers all the great devotees who remembered that I have to go back to the spiritual world and pass their life in that way. So that is a devotee. He lives in this world, but his attention is not on this dream world. But his attention is fixed in the reality of the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please?
Sometimes my consciousness is, I want to be Krishna conscious, but it became like...
Well, that's Mayavad. Only to say not this, not this. But what is? Na iti. So what is the real thing?
Simply negation is not required, but positive point is required. Instead of neti neti, we should have yad brahmeti. This, what is the absolute truth that we have to see? So a devotee doesn't simply negate everything, but he sees everything in relation to Krishna. That is the devotee's way of seeing the world. Not simply reject, use everything in Krishna's service. People are working hard to make money for sense enjoyment. So we don't say that we hate your money, we like it, we'll use it for Krishna's service and give you one of Prabhupada's books. We don't say that everyone has to go and live in a cave in the jungle. You can live in the city. But if you're living in the city, then you should interact with the people of the city so they may become Krishna conscious. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. Coca-Cola, well, no real need for that. We don't want to. We can use the money they make. Billions of dollars selling Coca-Cola all over the world. They're enthusiastic. They're very enthusiastic to sell more and more Coca-Cola. They're always thinking how to increase our business. When will that day come when there isn't a person in the world who doesn't drink Coca-Cola every day? They're always meditating. They're ambitious. So devotees should be similarly ambitious. And when will that day come when there's not a person in the world who's not chanting Hare Krishna? They've spread a big empire of Coca-Cola consciousness. They're enthusiastic to do it. It's useless enthusiasm. But you can take... useless enthusiasm means because it's not beneficial to anybody, nor even the person who's selling it, not the person who's drinking it, not the person who's selling it. Even for their billions of dollars, it doesn't help them in the slightest. So still you can see the enthusiasm and take that as a lesson, just like you can take a lesson even from the dog. The dog is a condemned species, at least in Indian culture, not in Western culture. In Western culture, the dog is considered the man's best friend. But the dog, you can learn, there's different things you can learn. Faithfulness to his master, alertness upon being awoken, there are different things you can learn. Any other question? Oh, all right, so I have a question. Who would like some prasadam from Radha Rasbihari in Juhu, Bombay? All right. So what is the sambandha, abhideya and prayojan? Sambandha is we would like some. Abhideya means you have to come and get it, and prayojan means you take it. So let's do that. In Bombay, only in the Juhu temple, there are three major temples there. In the first 3 weeks of the marathon, they distributed 150,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Pretty good, huh?